which Gospel chapter 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to the Galilee, and they went up to him with him to all the region round about him. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Then he came to Nazareth, that he had been brought up, and that is just the word. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood for the reading. And there was delivered to him from the prophet Jesus. When he opened the book, he found the place where that were aware of the truth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he goes to it. And he gave it to the minister, sat down. Lord, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day, this should therefore fill your ears. And all there witnessed one of the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And we come to the fourth of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 4. And he was leading to a little Samaria, that then cometh into the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. Yet the apostle John, the chief of gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was dead. Jesus, therefore, he really could be still in Cyprus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to find me. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask this drink of me, which I have done with Samaria, whether we have not given to this man? Jesus said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And I'd like to read it. That would be good. From the body of life, I guess, should have been said. I don't see whether it's very long. Might go over and do what that teacher said, say also. Well, chapter, let's see the root. The end of the 14th chapter, the last sentence, it says, we have had this together and again. And to get the whole of the religion to the rest of the year here. And the Pharisees described the moment says, this man received the sinner and he did put upon him. He spake this parable and said, what man of you, having a wounded sheep, if you lose one of them, you put not be the 99 and the wilderness of God for that which is lost until you find it. When you have found it, you lay it on your shoulder and rejoice. When you come home, you call together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which is lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, for the over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I will go and have intended to serve that a new one, come not like a candle and sweep the house and seek diligence until she find it. When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give to me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided it with them his living. Not many days after, the younger sons gathered all together, and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with bad food. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be one. He went to join himself with a citizen of that country, and he sent him. It was his swine, and he would pay a very, very well to the swine he no man gave it to him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many had sons of my father's, have been up, and the same I perished with hunger. I will rise, and with my father, and with sin his father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to call thy son. Make me one of thy sons. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him and said unto him, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to call thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best clothes and put upon him. Put a ring on his hand and shoot on his feet, and bring another fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I want to leave the job. When the dead, the last me, settled on me, but we took again tonight, you know. Now we have to go on with the teacher. We have to go on with that. The group we have the anointed teacher, the Lord, she said, I am about the Lord, to be the teacher, you know, do it. Here he is, he's the teacher. More than that, he's the anointed teacher. The Spirit of God is anointed him to teach the gospel to the poor. That's why I read the fourth of John, you know, he's preaching the gospel to the poor outcast. And of course, I read the book because, I don't know what they put that how this looks like. I think he's preaching the acceptable year of the Lord there. You may disagree with me, but he's certainly preaching and seeking to make God the heart of the entire Godhead, isn't he? I suppose you might know more about the 15th loop than I know. I remember a brother many years ago was a big, what do you call him, pillar in this assembly. You should help the brothers in the Bible reading this and all that. And you know what he says? I read him say about the 50th of Luke. He said, what I always like to say, is the brother who get up on that platform again, he's just sitting there, and he says, he's done, he can sit. I would like to say, the brother got there, preach the 50th of Luke, as though I've never been preached before. Well, I don't know, so we'll have to do that now. I think we should all try to preach it as though it's going to be the last time it's going to be preached. And then it's going to be the last time that this precious, glorious gospel, which speaks of the heart of God, is going to be preached. And it's going to be the last time. It's not always going to be the day of grace, you know. But it is, and yet, say, here comes the armor. And he's fresh from the wilderness, having been attacked by the enemy, and come out victorious. He has defeated the beast, he has bound up the strong man, as they say, bound up the strong man, and now he proceeds to destroy his goods. You say, why? That's good for believing in it. We don't need somebody to spoil his goods. Everybody's suffering under it. Or what do you say to the people who do? The God of this world, they do what people need to do. The scripture might well say, is the God of this world. Well, here we have our Savior, the Lord from heaven. The second man, I think we all know a little bit of what the first man brought in. He brought nothing but moral disorder, hadn't he? He was hardly here very long, but what he was hiding from God, wasn't he? God was having to say, where are you? He was hiding from God. Here we have the glorious second man, our Savior, the Lord from heaven, fresh from the glory. He's not hiding from God, he's displaying God. More than that, he's displaying the heart of God. So I think he's very well competent to be declared, isn't he, the teacher. they want to keep us along, and the future becomes no better off. I don't think he had a bad. I think he always comes to say, you know, indeed. His world is very happy. So I always like to think, you know, that before he enters the wilderness, heaven's open on him. And he has the heavenly salutation from God the Father. He's not asking, where art thou? He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Wouldn't the Lord say, isn't he? It's God the Lord, it's the one to be trusted. This is the one who has pleased the Father. He satisfied all the righteous things of God. And in our chapter, we began with, he said he's been like a preacher. So I thought, well, think of what it takes to listen to some of his preachings. Now I'll straight away for the idea woman in the well. I suppose she would be perhaps the last one that many of us would contact or would hurry along to have contact with for the eternity, that she was an outcast. Well, the children sing the call, she knows about the love of Jesus, that means it to himself, maybe all this week, of the love of Jesus, the wonder of the love of Jesus, it's so high, you know, you can't get over it. It's so low, you can't get under it. I love this because it's so wide, you can't get out of it. So here we are. Outside as well, the other half of the outcast, social outcast, I believe he was. And he's waiting at the well for her to tell her the glad tidings, to tell her the day he brought eternal life, the living water. Everyone who's trusted Christ knows something about the living water. We have in Christ, we have life, we have the living water. Therefore, we can move along in this world quite independent of all its death, you know. We can move on happily in happy communion with Christ, the life giver. So it means to preach it directly to this dear outcast. Of course, you might say, well, I don't think you're preaching at all, you might be perhaps just talking, but whatever, in whatever form you connect it to be, he was bringing bad times to the world. And he begins to give an object lesson. He's there to draw water. So what I like about this sixth verse, I like this sixth verse, no? That Jesus therefore be weary with his journey. I like that. What we call it? Human touch. Because he was a real perfect man, wasn't he? He knew what it was to weep, he knew what it was to be weary. And it said he was weary with his journey, suffers on the well. I hope to think that the man of the glory, our Savior, who is there, he's living for us, maintaining us. He's been all the way before, every step. He knows all the road passages. He knows all the heartaches. You know? And this tender heart is fully competent to deal with any road passage or any heartache that you and I may have. Because he's been the way before. He knows the way. I think it's very sweet that the Lord encourages my heart to go that way. And all my way, the third journey has been a comfort to me. To know that I am living in touch with a man of glory who is going to take me home. And he knows the way, because he's been all the way before. I think that's sweet, that. I think that's a great comfort to every child of God, that very, very thing. That he's young, I didn't like to pass that as a passage, because it's further than to me, and it might be, I hope, just it is, Well, if you know that he was really, if he shall not be shoddy, then all right, we're all right in his good. I think we're all right in his good health. Go to the cross, wouldn't he? He's not going to die, but he was moving down his way. He had a fast, dark calendar, you know, before he reached the glory, because he was looking for the lost. You know, he was looking for you and I. He was the Son of Man who come to seek and to save that which was lost. And it meant a very, very great need for the Savior to seek and to save that which was lost. Our redemption is very, very costly to the Savior, dear friends. Suppose we all know that. It's good for our hearts to keep the record afresh, seeking to take account of what it cost him. So yeah, he's very good to study, sits on the well, he comes to school. The last that was said, to me, is most important good, verse 10. You know, Jesus says, right? He doesn't worry about the question that she's worried about, anything to do with the man. He doesn't worry about that at all. This is what he preaches to her. He said, now, if thou givest a gift to God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me a drink, thou wast the last of him, and they would have given me living water. And I read that, you know, every time I read that, I think, how very important it is to know who is spoken of in the precious black times, who is speaking to us in the bad times. How good it is to know who you trust in, who you are about to trust. You know, it's good to know, isn't it? We'll never know him fully, but it is good to know him as Savior. People have various knowledges of Christ, various measures of knowledge of Christ, you know. Some reckon him to be well. He was a man, some would say, who was fast to say, he was a man, and if you never wrong with that. The man lived there. Well, he lived there for his principles more than that. He died for them. And, so I, but you know, you and I know that we don't obtain salvation through his glory. Christ is a good man, a morally good man, you know, that lived here for God. So we have to know him, haven't we? As the one that went all the way to Calvary, you know, he's the same way. All the way to Calvary. He went for me. Wonderful thing to know that the Son of God one day was forsaken of God because he was the sin bearer, bearing our sins, his own body of the truth. Very costly, especially our redemption, isn't it? Very costly. People said, when we tell him that we come to Christ, that we are sure to get to heaven, we should not. And that we are righteous before God, which we are, and our sins are all forgiven, which they are. When we say these things, you know, people think, well, a presumptuous crowd you are. Don't you think they need to do I? No, dear friends, you're certainly not. The one who has blessed us with all these blessings is the same precious Savior who laid down his life for us, who is the sake of God for us, for all our sins. Well, he said, if thou wilt the gift of God, we might know what the gift of God is, you know, yeah, we don't know, do we? We go out talking to God, don't people do anything. Thank God, I think we know, though, the majority of us don't know what the gift of God is. I would say the gift of God is eternal life, isn't it? The gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God. And who it is that said to thee, and who it is that said to thee, give me the name. I was the last of him. And they would have given me living water. Well, there we are. The living water is to be had through simply asking for it. Simply trusting in Christ, asking him to give you this living water. Simply approaching him in simple childlike faith, and we receive all these blessings through this childlike trust in him, bearing him in our Savior. That's the thing, you know. You've got to know who he is. How we've got to approach it in the light of who he is, and we receive these eternal blessings from him. He loves all of us, loves our soul, and I will be able to speak. And of course, Father Lamb, verse 16, begins to search the earth for this deed. For a call I can do for the Lamb. Said I am good. Jesus said to her, I was well said, I am good for the first time. I am good. They will come now and come and live. Not says thou to me. Jesus said to him, sir, I can see thou art God. He said, well, why are you reading that? What's that got to do with sinners? What's that got to do with coming to Christ? It's got a very good thing to do with coming to Christ. It's a good thing to go for. That everybody that's looked at Christ, faith in their Savior, they have indeed felt that they do truly need him. I think it's very important that we have. It's very important. It would be good for those who are our critics to realize this, the three people who have trusted Christ. We've come the gospel way. We've come the gospel way. We bow the knee before him, we warn him. It's our Savior and our Lord, and we told him that we did believe him. And that we accept in the light of the Holy Scripture that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody called our sin out. Nobody listened any of that. It's only the humble, lowly, repentant sinner that knows the good of this. And he has no bother in coming to Christ and going in sinnership and he's behind and in the book. So she says. She says. And of course our next portion. The 13th and look. Everybody. Remember the 13th and look. I remember one of them. He was blind with him. He had to find his life and he was blind. I remember St. Lawrence. He was reading it, you know, quoting it, and now he's going down reading it and he's saying exactly right. He had it off by heart, off by heart. Now we just move to tell us to get things off by heart. He changed the position, get out and see if he can say these things to him. Then I'm back, and they reckon he got it off better that way. It's a good thing, it's good to be able to quote the word of God. I don't know how much I can quote it, but I thank God for me. The wondrous care and grace is to a man of sin yet, to preach by the Savior, it's 15 years ago. So the face of his critics, he says this to God, the face of his critics. They are going to the bottom, eating this man who is a sinner, and even welcome. Last year, you've gone on a long time now. You've gone on as far back as you call, nearly 50 years ago. I know. There is a monster that has come in with us. You've gone on for some time. I don't know before that, too. But you know, what I like about this portion is that he doesn't go braver. He's not hasty with them. He patiently instructs his critics. You and I have got a little bit angry with them perhaps. And patient with them. But he would have to teach our Savior, not only preach, to teach. Here he is, instructing the critics. The proud, self-righteous Pharisees. They couldn't think to have it, this man spoke of themselves, claimed to be from God, could associate with such people. They didn't understand the grace of God, did they? The grace of God. They say it, but murder fear. So this was the mightiest, but murder fear. The grace of God comes along when you and I are earlier and picks us up and gives us a perfect standing before God in Christ, we who were once nothing but hell, hell deserving sinners, we used to say one time, hell deserving sinners, that's what you and I were. But we, everybody outside of Christ, was the same. has the grace of God in the person of our Lord Jesus comes along. And here he's explaining to them. They fail to understand, they don't know why he's here. He's the Son of Man who come to seek and to save that which was lost. You and I don't know. Thank God for that. Thank God he came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's a grand thing to realize how far you are from God. It's a grand thing to realize, you know. You're not scared, of course. It's a grand thing to realize that you are lost and doing good. But the sooner they grow to be found. Well, there we are. Let's make a good enough. What? None of you. Have you ever heard of sheep in your world? Thought that you were 99 in the wilderness to grow up for that which is lost or really fine. It's another phrase that I cherish. And really fine, you know. That is a phrase which made you immediately seek to measure how far the Savior went, how far he had to go. Until he found me. How far did that go? And the river I got, what he wrote in there, he said that none of the ransomed have I knew. Have I given for the water's cost, or how dark was the night, but the Lord passed through, and he found the sheep that was lost. Dear friends, we praise him now, you know, we praise him now. For his love that those suffering saved are free. When we get home, we'll praise him in the Lord and sweet us free. Because the story of the old people told them, you know, we only know in part of the now we only know in part for the cross to save him, to redeem us. Well, there we go. He's explaining to them that the shepherd loves the sheep so. Then he never ceases to go on until he finds it. And when he finds it, lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. How good. How sweet to be there. I hope everybody here knows that they are there. I hope everybody here enjoys the sweet thought of being taken home on the shepherd's shoulder. And him glad to have you there. Glad to have you, how sweet. Just like him, isn't it? Just like the Savior, isn't it? You know the hymn said, isn't it? The more you get to know him, the more you find him true, and the more you're on with others, will be led to know him true, going through. And that's true, right? Mm-hmm. That is true. It's always a little mystery to me, you know. I think I said it there before. It's always a mystery to me how people remain outside Christ. They look at you and I are on it and go, the screws that we got there. You know, we following the Savior, we were forced to be loved, we were seeking to follow him. Nothing wrong with it. We're unbalanced, you know. Dear friends, we don't know him, we don't know the love of Christ, do we? We don't know his love. One man wrote a hymn, extremely funny hymn, but you know, I helped me out today. One man wrote in, he said, well, that's well, Lord, with all his praise, God, and now, Lord Jesus, well, the Lord, he's still up for how true. You might have mentioned it in the outside of pastors, he says, Lord. So we have the sheep on the shoulders of the shepherd, and it's not the sheep that's rejoicing, it is a happy thought to be on his shoulder, it is. An atmosphere of rejoicing to be there, isn't it? But look at what the Bible says, the shepherd rejoicing. You say, does it mean he's not happy there? It does indeed. It does indeed, dear friend. It refreshes the Savior's heart, you know, to be able to retrieve you, to find you, to be able to put you on his shoulder and take you home. The Savior rejoices over that. I was thinking of what he went and said to him, give me drink, you know. I thought, now how can anybody refresh the Savior? Well, I think we seek our measure to give him the drink, don't we? Or will we gather together and remember his murderous, glorious death, don't we? We speak to you, fresh heart, shall we do it? But you know the philosopher, how he glory, bowing glory before him on the shroud, gives the Savior a great deal, refreshes his heart. How good it must be, as he sits on his throne, and he is laid in the door, and the poor sits on his heart. That's what we must have time to talk about it. There we are, we've seen it all. The thought of reading was that tonight you know that this picture, this anointed picture, he makes no mistake in hearing your eyes fixed to know, anybody that's interested, to know that the whole of heaven, the whole of Godhead, is interested in your eternal blessing. The whole of Godhead. As we say, the shepherd, as we say, the shepherd, the good shepherd, tell you what. That I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He is going to give his life for the sheep, you know. For the long as he was up, I said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. One of the glorious Christ of God in me takes us up from the rivers of God into the atmosphere of glory. Well, that's all I say there. That's the salvation that he gives too. That's the assurance that you give your heart to everything. If you do it wrong, they can't say, he's yours. Then you don't know anything about it, do you? It's time for you to step in, do you? He's yours. It's the Savior who loves you, yours. Give him the effort. Give him now. While you have time, give him now. Then the dear woman, who is the piece of silver, lights the candles, which is the house. He's there with me. He's all being some job here in the of the Holy Spirit, too. He's working through, might be working out here, but just here, working yet, perhaps in some part yet, getting me to realize it's time to take Christ. It's time to take Christ as your Savior. It's time to look in before Him, and I'll look before Him, trust in Him. Very often, you know, now I trust in you. You also sit on the childlike and play again. How good is it? How does she do to the same she's going to be defined. Even the Holy Spirit, I think, is speaking. That is, drawing the presence of the King of God from a once in a dependent. And then we have it here. We call it the prodigal son. The poor one who was afar off from the pure was to see the family. It's a good thing, you know. It's a good thing when you know that there's nobody else in this world family, which there is. Oh, yeah, that's right, that's why I was all in and shut. Then what's in there? The life is winning. No man gave a room. But he thought about the Father's house. He thought about the Father's heart. He thought he was hurried back home. And he came to himself. He came to himself. He decided to return to his Father and then he thought, this is all the tale of grace that the Savior has come to me. This is the tale of grace fresh from heaven. The Savior has come all the way from the glory to tell these words, gracious words. He tells it in the years of the critics. He seeks to instruct them that God, the Father, is where you receive the glory of it. And he comes to himself and seeks to hurry back. The chapter further down tells us that the Father was looking out for him. From the heart of the Father, looking out for him. Ran to meet him. Fell on his neck and covered him with kisses, and then arrayed him with the best soul, and he began to be men. Yes, that is good, dear. As God the Father, as the Savior and Shepherd, as
But the Holy Spirit of God, who lives with all thy might, with all the grace of the Godhead, bringing to Christ, that's what we do in our heaven. So that's why I'm always good. So the Lord of the Father, the Jesus, the new boy, the Son, preaching of the anointed preacher, fresh from the glory, with his heart full of grace, for the poor sinner who is ready for him. So we pray to the Lord for the blessing of the Son of the Lord. Blessed be your heart. Heavenly.